Okay, so we're up to the laws of the Philistines, Adam, Sim, and then before we're up to Simon, we're up to Halacha Vav. Before we do Vav, let us go over some Shi'adim Mitzionim Halacha. Let's start with Aleph. It's on page Reish Chaf Beis.
I'm sorry.
Let's start Reish Chaf Beis Shi'adim Mitzionim Halacha Aleph. There's a halacha, when you wash your hands, you have to have a kli shalem. The kli must be without any imperfection. If you have a utensil and there is a crack or there is a hole, problem is, in halacha, the kli comes to an end at the place where there is a hole. Okay, because let me give you an example. If you have a kli, let's say the kli is, again, just some 20 inches tall. How much is 20 inches? Pretty tall. Let's say it's 10 inches. Okay, not too 10 inches tall. Okay. And you have a hole at the height of 7 inches. You got a problem. Because the water can only go until the height of... If you fill up the cup, once you get to 7 inches, even though the cup was meant to hold water to a height of 10 inches, once you get to 7 inches, the water begins to leak out. That basically means that your utensil comes to an end at the height of 7 inches. If it comes to an end at the height of 7 inches, if you take this cup and then you use it to wash and you pour water over your hand, the water is not coming directly from the utensil to your hands. The water is going over a section of a utensil, which is not a utensil. There's a hefsek. The kli ends at 7 inches because of a hole. And then before it comes upon your hand, it's going over 3 inches that does not have the status of a utensil. Now, it may seem strange to us, so what's the big deal? The water was in a kli, and the water is being applied to my hands through my power. But in halacha, it's not acceptable, because it's not going directly from a utensil to your hands. It's passing, or it's being supported through a section of the utensil that is not in halacha considered a utensil. So it's no different than turning on the faucet and sticking out your hands and washing your hands. It's very good. Your hands are clean. If you use Purell, your hands, they claim, are cleaner than using water, but using Purell is not called netilas yadayim. That's not the way the halacha has been established. So you have to be very careful that the utensil you use to wash your hands does not have any hole, any crack anywhere along the utensil, so the utensil should not come to an end at that location. Yeah. So it's not so clear. See that?
Building on him, the water above the hole is not in a kli because there's a hole underneath.
The water above the hole
is not a kli. It's not in a kli because it's leaking.
Right,
out.
Right.
The water below the hole is good water.
It's right.
So if you only fill it up to the hole, and then you pour it over.
No, that's the problem. That's not
so
cool.
So why, if you have a cup and I hold my hand 2 feet underneath the water and I do the tilsidaim that way, would it be good?
It is good because the water is coming from, the air does not count. When you wash your hands, the water must leave the utensil and go directly to your hand.
So
even though there's a very large gap of empty space.
Right, so if you have a hole in the utensil, you quickly turn it over.
No,
so it,
but that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. If you would do it like that, possibly you would be correct. That would be correct. But that's not the mitzvah.
You do it from the other side.
No, the other side is not going to work. Let's take a step back. I want to take a step where we learned, you have a pitcher. Okay, a classic pitcher has a spout. Now, the spout goes up. There are some pitchers where the spout goes down. I'm not sure. Some pitchers, the spout goes down. The place of the spout is lower. Is that really true?
It's like a hole.
Like a hole. Oh, okay, I'm going to come to that. Let me 1 second. The spout goes down. And there are some pitchers where the spout goes up. Let's discuss where the spout goes up. You have the utensil on your table. The utensil is 10 inches. And then there's a spout that goes up 2 inches. If I fill up the utensil will only reach a height of 10 inches. Oh, but there's a spout, so I can have another 2 inches of water. Physics doesn't work like that. Once you get to 10 inches, it's not going to work. Now, let's say I take up the pitcher and I want to wash my hands. So what would the average person do? Well, there's a spout, right? Most people like to follow directions sometimes. So in your mind, there's a spout. I'm going to wash with the water going over the spout. lo yatsa.
Right.
Because the water is now traveling from the utensil to a section of 2 inches, which is not called the utensil in halacha. And that, again, it's strange to absorb this concept, is a hefsek. Ear is not a hefsek. If you pour the water over here and your hands are down there, it's okay. Because ear is not a hefsek. Gravity is a... But going over that 2-inch utensil, that spout, that's not halachically part of the utensil, is a hefsek between the utensil and your hands, lo yatsa. So what's the solution? The solution in this case is, you have a solution, is just wash your hands from not the spout. Take the utensil, hold it with the spout towards your hand, and hold the spout towards your hand, and then wash, the water will go directly from the utensil onto your hands over the rim of the utensil, not going to the spout. Now let's discuss another, yeah.
What happens if the spout is 10
inches? Oh, goes down. Let's say the other way around. Let's say...
No, it's
down.
Big enough for
that. That means a Brita...
The spout goes down.
No, a Brita pitcher, the spout is exactly...
No, that's flat. Fine. That's perfectly fine. The test is, put the utensil on the table and fill it up until it overflows. If there is a certain section that comes above the overflow, that section that comes above is not in halacha considered part of the utensil. And you may not pour the water over that section when you do netilas yodayim. Now let's take the other example. You have a utensil, and the utensil has a spout. The spout goes down. The spout goes down at exactly 10 inches. But the rest of the utensil goes up. It's a little bizarre, but that's, it appears there are some, the kitzur says that. It goes up to 12 inches. So the rim goes around 12 inches. But the spout comes down at 10 inches. 12 inches for the rim and 10 inches for the spout. Put the utensil on the table, fill it up to the top. Once you get to 10 inches, it starts to leak. It starts to leak. It's never going to make it to 12 inches. So why did the engineer add those 2 inches? It's a total waste. It really is. Is it not? Those extra 2 inches, what purpose do they serve? Those 2 inches. When you put it on the table, it's going to, and you fill it up after you come.
They don't want you to fill it the whole way.
When it comes to 10 inches, it's going to fall. So in this instance, you must be super careful if you do choose to use this utensil as your washing utensil to wash only through the spout. Because if you're going to turn it, hold it, and wash from the part that's 12 inches, those extra 2 inches do not have the status of a utensil.
And it's worse because it makes it, if it touches that, it...
It's going to be a hefsek. It's a hefsek between the utensil and your hands. That's no good. So now taking out what? If you have a utensil and it comes to 12 inches,
spout, that's going down.
That's good. No, because the spout is the lowest part of the utensil, the lowest common denominator. Take the utensil, put it on the table. At 10 inches, this is where the spout. This is the spout. Above the spout, you have another 2 inches of material, of solid material. But if I pour, I fill it up, once the water reaches the height of 10 inches, what happens? It begins to overflow. It'll never reach those 2 inches because of the spout. The spout is lower. When you want to use, if you were to choose to use this utensil as a washing kli, you have to be careful to wash, in this instance, from the spout. Because the spout is the lowest portion of the kli that contains water when the kli is stationary. If you're going to hold the utensil with the spout towards your hand and pour over those extra 2 inches, that's not a kosher netilas yodayim. Because the water is traveling from the utensil over a 2-inch area that does not have the halachic status of a kli.
So now, if you have a spout that seals, you can fill it up above the spout.
Yeah, you close the spout. So it'll be good then.
And then when you want to do it, you open the spout and you can pour
it. It would appear that it's good. It provides.
So that is exactly the way the pipes in the water work. You're assuming the water in the pipe, in the faucet, is a kli. Because it's a closed kli.
Okay, the water in the faucet is not necessarily a kli under normal circumstances because it's mechubel karka. It's attached to the ground.
The wall, yes.
Attached to the wall, attached all the way attached to who knows where it's attached. If it wouldn't be attached, you have a flood. So obviously it's attached. It's attached well. It's attached well all the way down. It's so well attached, this is one of the main hetero by Belsky, why Rabbi Belsky and many other posts hold, you don't need to filter your water. You don't need for bugs, for the copepods. The copepods.
You don't need.
Because if the halacha is a bug, a bug that has not been, not lives, no, live is not the right word, it has been created in the water, you're allowed to eat. As long as the bug has never at one point in time been separated from its natural habitat, it's not called in halacha a sheret samayim, and there's no prohibition to consume it alive. So if you hold that the water, I'll give you a classic example. Everyone has to agree that if you go out to the reservoir, let's say you go to the reservoir, you go out and you stick it in the water and you drink and you drink and you drink water, and you drink in copepods, real gesunde copepods that you can see with the naked eye. Have you done anything wrong? Less man the pollock. It's mutter. You don't need any filters. It's mutter. Copepods that have been developed in the water, and you eat them straight from their source. There is no prohibition. The reason why many people are machmir, many poskim are machmir, is because we hold that when it goes through the processing of through all of these tunnels and through filters, all of our water today is treated. It's treated. They add chemicals and they do all these different things. And when it comes in, when it comes into your house and it goes into different pipes and different, especially in apartment buildings. That's the real big thing. You go to an apartment building, especially in Manhattan, because there it's stored in tanks.
No longer.
What do you mean no longer?
No longer.
You can't have tanks all not reused.
No.
You cannot.
So how do they get the water?
They have pumps on the 13th floor, whatever, and it pumps it up.
I don't understand. I used to live in the Lower East Side.
You used to have all the water.
You would flush the toilet. I live on the first floor.
Water
wow.
Water tanks.
Wow, it's like.
Pressure, yeah,
you flush the toilet. Why? Because it's 22 stories of pressure coming down.
That was built also as a fire protection, because if you had a fire, you needed water, and
correct,
everyone in the neighborhood used water, it came down.
Okay.
Also, they had a pump.
Pump it up.
Yeah, but whether you had a pump or not, it accumulated. There was a regulation.
Whether you pump, the only way to get the water to the 22nd story is to pump it. The water's not going to naturally go that high.
Where you live, because some places are lower than the
22 stories, you'll never get more than three stories.
Washington Heights not, but if you live in, you could live in a skyscraper downtown in the East Side, you're lower than Washington Heights. Washington Heights is at the level
really?
Of the World Trade Center. All the pipes come right through. When you go to the George Washington Bridge,
when
you come off the east side and the side,
actually
that's what you see. There are the tunnels that bring in
the water.
The water.
That's all the way up there?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. So
everything comes down naturally by gravity. But they needed, for fire safety, they needed the water tanks.
Okay.
Maybe they got rid of the water tanks.
Okay.
They have mechanical pumps.
Okay. Okay, but the point we want to make over here is many poskim. I don't remember the part. I once remember. I forgot.
Rabbi, you didn't finish.
The
water comes through, and what happens?
All the pipes.
The many poskim are of the opinion that all of these pipes, this network of pipes and tunnels that where the water travels from the reservoirs until your kitchen sink, they are called kalim.
Okay.
And these copepods, they start out as microscopic creatures which are not nirilei naim, but at some point in time, they develop, they form, and they're forming in these kalim, in these tanks or in these tunnels or in these other areas that are in halacha not considered to be the place that is natural to them. And they have the status of a utensil, and then they become prohibited because of their sheret samayim.
And what does Rabbi Belsky say?
He holds it's all one continuous mechubar, it's one continuous extension of the reservoir, and it's considered to be born. They're being created in their natural environment, and you're allowed to drink it. There's no prohibition. It's a sheretz. It's smooth, right? He holds it's not a sheretz amayim. It's smooth.
This has two what do you call it? Things that you come out from it. One is if you hold it's a keli, you have a problem with Pesach because everyone's using hot water from that same hot water system. So if you're using hot water in your sink and
hot water is different than cold water.
No, I'm talking about a keli, and the guy on top of you is using hot water. Let's say for chametz. So you're attaching your kelim with the chametz kelim above, and you're really using chametz dik water.
Not that's so simple because it has to be. No, that's not so simple.
It's like you're having when you go to a factory, you have a hot water.
That's those steam machines. That's not in the pond
oil. Boiling water. It
would be safe. You don't have that problem. You have that by kitchens, hotel kitchens, the steam machines, because there it actually passes through typhus. You have these steam pipes that are going through these massive soup pipes, and the soup is trafe, and these steam pipes are passing, the steam is passing through very slowly, and that steam becomes mamish trafe. And then when it comes to your pipe, when that same steam works way around the kitchen, comes to the kosher section, you have trafe of steam coming in.
Because if you're a guy, you're having a trafe pot under the hot water, and you're not letting the water come.
Every situation is different. You have to know the technology inside it. Every situation is different. Technology is changing
the
all the time. Right. Early 19th, in the bathtub. You can make a mikveh in your bathtub. There was such a suggestion that it should be kosher to make a mikveh in your bathtub.
Or even to use for regular mikveh, let it pour on the ground, and it's already the water from the city is not all meshuvin. Because it's coming straight from the.
So you fill up your bathtub, you can tell your kalim in the bathtub. Yeah, there is such an opinion like that. No, they wanted to suggest a woman can be tovel the mikvah in the early 20th century where there were not many mikvos to make mikvos in your bathtub. Because technically speaking, it's all mechubah to the reservoir, so it should be considered to be, it's not mayim shuvim, and it's not zeichlim. It's no different than a mikvah. Okay, but that we don't rely upon that. But the point over here is going back to our utensil dilemma. Now, let's discuss the utensil dilemma. We have here, we discussed the case of a spout. So the spout is not such a big problem because when you have a spout, either the spout goes up or the spout goes down. And that leaves over the rest of the utensil to wash, to use the part that the lowest end to use for washing. But let's say you have a regular utensil, which is 12 inches tall, perfectly round, and guess what? You have a nice hole at 10 inches. So now you're finished. There's no solution. Because there's no part of the utensil you can use to wash your hands. Because the whole utensil goes to the height of 12, but in halacha, the utensil comes to an end at the height of 10 inches. Because at the height of 10 inches, you have a hole. And when you fill it up to 10 inches, it may not come out in 10 seconds. All the water may not pour out, but slowly the water drips out, drip by drip, from that hole out of 10 inches. Because you have a utensil, it's 12 inches in height. At the height of 10 inches, there's a little teeny hole, and the water drips. The words are tif achar tif, drop after drop, continuously. If that's the situation, that means that in halacha, the utensil comes to an end of the height of 10 inches. Now, can I wash through that hole? No, obviously not. There's not enough water coming out of that hole in order to allow me to wash. So where am I going to want to wash from? I want to wash from the surface, from the rim. No, but there's a chatzitza. The water is only considered to be kosher water until the height of 10, and those 2 inches of the utensil is going to be a hefsik from the water until it gets onto your hands. So
why can't you do it on the other side?
What other side? You don't have another side.
Yeah, this is my clearly. I have a hole here.
Okay.
The water comes up to here.
Okay.
I go this way.
Yeah. No, but you're going over that whole top of the pot.
No, I'm not.
You are. When you put the utensil down on the table, and there's a hole, point where the hole is.
Right here.
Now fill up the cup all the way to the very, very top.
No, I don't. I fill it up.
No, let's say you would.
Don't.
No, but let me explain. Let me illustrate. Let me explain. Let's say you were to fill up the cup all the way to the very, very top and come back in 5 minutes. What would happen? No. So what would happen? Where would the water be?
Obviously, it's coming out.
Oh, so what does that mean? It means that in halacha, the part of the utensil from the hole to the very, very top, is it called the kli? Is it part of the kli?
No.
If you're going to take that utensil, you're going to wash on the other side.
And I have the water up to here.
Up to here, right, up to there. And you're going to, and you want to wash. And you're going to wash on the other side.
Right. Going above.
The water is passing from the bottom, the kosher water from the bottom. Where is it passing?
Except through the air, nothing.
It's passing.
The side.
The hole on that side. But where is it passing? Where is it making contact with? But that's not called a utensil in halacha.
Because it's defective on
that's
the side.
That's right. Because of the defect on the other side, it ruins the whole thing. The whole thing.
If you take a scissor, you cut down.
What? No, that would be good. If you take a scissor, you cut it, that's good. Now you fashion. You've now fashioned a utensil that's usable.
I would ask my wife first.
Yeah.
How could you say that?
You can see who rules the house.
Shabbos.
A what?
Shabbos.
A Shabbos?
Urn.
Yeah.
That has a spout on the bottom.
Okay.
You could wash from that.
From the, so we, yes, that's okay. You can do that because that's close. Yeah, the Gemara, he's going to actually discuss exactly how to wash from a spout in a few moments. Washing, I'll just tell you in advance, washing from a spout is problematic because it's not called, that's another issue, it's not called gavra. I open the spout and water gushes. So by opening on the spout, okay, so you have one gush of water. In halacha, only the first 2 seconds is called your koyach, your power. After 2 seconds or 1 second, it's no longer considered your power, it's natural. I open the spout, water gushes. The first gush of water is a direct result of my actions. Whereas, but if I let it, if it remains open and it continues to flow, that's not my action. That's indirect. So the solution is you have to do it multiple times. Open, close, open, close, open, close. Right. But as long as the spout is closed, that's the utensil. It's completely closed, so it's fine. But if you have a utensil that has a hole, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch only discuss the situation of a spout, and the spout has a very easy solution. Just wash from the part of the utensil that is the lowest portion. Where the lowest portion is the spout, or the lowest portion is the side that's not the spout. But when you're dealing with a utensil that does not have a spout, and has a crack in the center, then you got yourself a problem. Now this is very interesting. This you think this is not a big issue? It's a very big issue. Some places, you go to a restaurant, or you go to a yeshiva, even a yeshiva where supposedly they know the halacha, they are... Somehow the washing cups always seem to disappear. Do you ever notice that? Like pens, go to a bank, the pen is attached with a iron
chain. They have to attach a little slip on it that says not table cable.
Right, the pen cost. Some of the pens are worth. You can buy a dozen for 10 cents. Go online. You can buy, go on eBay, you can buy 1,000 for a dollar. But yet, that pen that's worth less than a penny is attached with a chain.
Now the National Bank has cups full of pens sitting on the counter. Oh. And you can take
it with you.
Really?
Wow, see that?
Yeah.
Gets commission. Open an account.
Yeah, full of pens.
Open an account and mention the morning call, he gets a commission.
Yeah,
Okay, but for some reason, for some bizarre reason, the washing cups, these cheap washing cups, which only cost a dollar or two, they disappear. So what have they done? Why do they disappear? I don't know why. They put on a chain. Now, how do you take a plastic cup and put on a chain on a plastic cup? So you drill a hole. Ooh, so who drills the hole? They have workers. You have a worker, a Chinese, you have a Mexican worker. He doesn't know halach, he knows nothing. So where does he make the hole? He makes the hole in the cup itself. On the top of the cup, these plastic cups, you know, the regular plastic cups you've all seen a million times. Right? So you make a little hole along the top of the plastic cup. Big deal, because he thinks, what's it? You're going to fill it up to the very, very top? What's the big deal? Like the Mexican thinks, what are you going to do with your plastic cup? You're going to fill it? He'll make the hole towards the top, and then it'll stick in the chain. That ruins the cup. The cup is no longer kosher. I've seen this. The cup is no longer kosher for the tilas yadayim, because once you make a hole in the plastic cup anywhere along the top, even a half an inch along the top, so in halacha, where does the cup come to an end? The cup comes to an end at the location of that hole. It would come out of, if you were to fill up the water. If you were to
tight seal,
No, they don't make a tight seal. They drill a hole and they stick in a little chain, a little piece of metal to connect it. But if you would take that washing cup and you would fill it to the very top, it would leak out through the hole. So that means that in halacha, where does the cup come to an end? At the location of that hole. When you're washing, you're not washing through the hole. You're washing through the very top. That means the water is going over another half an inch, even another centimeter. That centimeter that's above the hole is a hefsek from the water inside the utensil to your hands. So you're not yotze netilas yadayim. So to protect yourself from losing your cup, not everyone knows halacha. Go to a restaurant. Next time you look, next time you notice a cup, a washing cup chained down to a sink, take a look at how it's connected. And you'll be shocked to discover that not every time is it connected in a halachic way. So you have to connect on the handles. They connect.
There's a new hashgacha coming
out. A new hashgacha to make sure that the cup, the washing cup is...
Cupcake.
What is your name? Are you supposed to go tell the mashgiach?
Of course, you should. The mashgiach. Well, that's it. You're getting now into another whole discussion. Where does the mashgiach's role end? This is a very big debate of glatyat years ago, mixed dancing. You have a company where they have a pritzos on display, or they have taruvis, and you go to the mashgiach.
Naked girls on the cover of this cereal.
And you have mashgiach. You tell them, how can you give a heksher? Mashgiach says, we just give a heksher on the food. We're not responsible for anything else. So they'll tell you, we are going for the food. We're not responsible for the washing cup. That's not our department.
So
take a plastic cup. Plastic cup is...
They'll be very happy to...
It's only out of ignorance. The only reason why this happens out of ignorance and that you can...
So what practical answer would you give, Rabbi?
So go take a plastic... If you have a plastic cup, is better. Yes, it's better. It's not ideal. Many poskim say the nayotza is with a disposable cup, a chad pa'ami, one time. But b'di'evit it's good. B'di'evit you can rely upon using a cup. A disposable cup is also called a kli, b'di'evit. It's not so disposable. Today, nothing is so disposable. When you know they talk about disposable, they don't really have it anymore. They used to have years, I remember as a kid, these plastic cups that were, they were like paper almost. Do you remember those cups? They still have it. You can still probably buy it today. Those are real disposable cups. They're really today plastic cups. They're pretty good.
You know, you can always use a plate. There's an old Atilas for Kahana.
Yeah.
He used in Amsterdam. It was a big silver plate.
Yeah.
With all kinds of decorations inside.
A flat plate?
It was a gigantic plate, like you use
like a bowl.
Bowl, and that they filled with water, and they had a couple of VMs, not one. Would you pour it over the side?
Okay.
You see, a very look it up.
Soup bowl. Soup bowl. That's on a flat.
If it's big enough,
it has all water. Doesn't it?
If it's a big giant plate, you can put in a lot of water in it.
You never see some rain.
Okay, so let's now, with that introduction, let's now look at the Sha'anim and Mitzvot of Halacha. The basic insight is what kind of hole disqualifies your washing cup? There are different types of, you have a hole, like when you drill a hole, the water will leak out. Sometimes it's a teeny little crack. Like let's say you go buy, suddenly they buy these exotic, beautiful washing utensils. You go there to show, and you come, you buy china, you buy these people, and you take it, you have it in your home for a number of years, and it gets a little crack. A little crack, you're sitting around your house, gorgeous, exotic, washing, ceramic, bowl, washing cup with the design, you shalayim, and all this. It's an ornament in your kitchen, and then after 10 years, you look at the bottom of the cup, and you notice there's a teeny little crack. Alright, for washing, big deal. Washing, it doesn't have to be perfect. You wash, the time you wash your hands, it's no big deal. So what is called in halacha, called a crack, that would disqualify the utensil from being used? So here he makes mention of different rules. Aleph, b'chubili shum nekev a'sedek mefulish, without a hole or a crack, that is mefulish, that goes through and through. Ayin b'turezov, d'benistak gamkein le'pasle, even if it's cracked le'pasle, elim ken yoytzi derech a'sedek tif afa achar tif. In order for a crack to be a halachic problem, it must continuously drip. If it only drips one drip in 10 seconds, that's okay. That's not called tif achar tif. Tif means continuously. Well, I guess every second, every 2 seconds. Drip, a drip, a drip. If it's one drip after 10, 20 seconds, that is not called a problem. Yes, of course. Of course, if you clog the hole, then you fixed it. Of course, it's not like magic.
So theoretically, you can take a piece of paper, seriously, a heavy-duty towel, paper towel,
and seal the hole.
Yeah, and seal yes. The hole temporarily. The hole
absolutely.
X number of one.
I don't know, temporarily. I think it has to be a permanent type of fix. If it's only temporary, it could be it's not good enough. Okay, Yoytzei Derech HaTzedek Tif Achar Tif. The ayin b'mishna bruda. Okay, shehedi mitosefta the b'chlei zchuches This rule that a very small crack is no big deal is only when it comes to earthenware or wood or metal. But glass, forget about it. Once you have a teeny little crack in glass, even though now it's not dripping tif achar tif, we all know that glass is very delicate. It's gonna, we all know, you'll throw it out in 2 minutes. Once there's a teeny little crack in a piece of glass, you're not going to keep it around. The place the chukas afilu im hasidik rak dak maod shein moitzi klum im ein akli yochel lekabel achamin kitzainin. If the kli hot, you would be afraid to pour hot water into this glass utensil because glass heat would cause it to crack, accelerate the cracking. Then ein litol bo, you should not use it. So glass, you should be more machmir of a glass utensil that's partially cracked. Don't use it for washing. When you make the evaluation that you would not, if you, these are very 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 fine points. If you have glass that's cracked, so if you would be afraid to add hot water, it would cause the crack to expand. That's only if you actually use this utensil for hot. But if you never ever use this glass utensil for hot, you only use it for cold, then you don't need to be so machmir, you can still use it for washing. This idea that you don't have to be so machmir, that if you only use this thing for cold, even though you would be afraid to use it for hot, it is okay the way it is. Okay, this seems like it's a trivial matter, but when you're in a place and you don't have a utensil, and it's all you got, right, you're out camping somewhere and this all you got, so these things may become a naftanina. Okay, let's go to the next Hashem's halacha base. We learned that you should not use something that has a narrow spout, like a can of soda, or you want to use a bottle of soda and the opening is very, very small. That's even though it's a perfectly fine utensil, perfect, it holds water, you're only doing it from the top, nothing is wrong. There's another problem. When the opening is very small, it's hard to pour in one shot. You can't get the requisite amount of water on your hand in one shot. You got to do it a couple of times because the hole is small and the air gets in the way. So it's not ideal to use those type of soda bottles to wash your hand. He disagrees, but the evidence is okay. But the other, as long as the water continuously flows from the opening, even though it does not come out in one shot, gulps, like from the bottle, it makes that sound, that gulping sound, even though it does not come out in one shot, it's okay with the other. As long as it's continuous to some degree. That is lenient. He's lenient that even though the liquid does not come out in one shot, it comes out in spurts, it's okay. As long as it's continuous. If you're traveling on the road, you're in the car, you only have a can of soda, or you have a bottle of soda, a bottle of water, or a water bottle, you can use it to wash your hands. What? Well, that's a spout that's continuous. When we discuss the case of a spout, we're talking about a utensil that the spout is lower or higher.
No, I'm talking about the spout.
The spout that's below on the bottom, that's fine. But you have to go, in that case, the utensil is stationary. You are. It's koyach yad. The only reason why it's going is because you're pouring it. Or you say, because if you're going to hold it in one location, it's going to go, you're right. So then if it's at kedei kach, you would have to do it a few times. You're right. That's a very good point. If it's so slow, if the flow is so slow, where you're not moving your hand back and forth, and you would probably have to do multiple times to make sure that it's koyach yad, it's not the secondary koyach. That appears to be valid. Okay, then we learned halal gimel in the shemesim halacha v'kodim sheminagvan yivar, before you dry your hands. Okay, the ideal time to make the bracha is before you dry, when your hands are still wet, or at least you should be in the process of drying. Your hands should not be completely dry. If they're completely dry, then it's a suffik bracha levatol. Halacha levayis lemekel. You can make the bracha even if it's completely dry, but it's ideal to make the bracha when your hands are still wet. So it should be oiver la'asiyasan. Ideally, you should make the bracha before you wash your hands. And when you're at the sink, before you pick up the cup, that's when ideally you should make the bracha. But we don't do that. because your hands are not clean. And we don't want you to make a bracha with not clean hands. So you wash your hands. Now my hands are clean. But before I dry my hands, you should make the bracha. Okay, that's the ideal thing to do.
In the bathroom, at the airport, in some rest stop, and you're washing
yes.
your hands because you have a sandwich with you.
Okay.
So you should come out
with wet hands. That's right. You have to come out with wet hands. So you're going to wash. Very good point. You're going to wash in a restroom, and you should bring with you a cup. You have to go get a cup. The sink, the sensors is not a solution. It's not a mahalach. And so you should get a paper cup. You probably can get a paper cup from somewhere, or take some. Go into the and fill it up, and then you wash. And with your wet hands, you come out with wet hands outside the Beis HaKisei, then you make the bracha. And then you dry it. Everyone's going to look at you like you're crazy. But that's not the first time. Right? When you go to McDonald's, I used to my family in Boston, so I go to Boston. Every time I go to McDonald's. Always stop off at McDonald's. Not all the time. Always look for McDonald's. The first McDonald's you get on the 95. You go to McDonald's and I know my way around there. I know where the good coffee is and where the good where the restrooms are and where the arcades are. Where the arcades are.
You wear a baseball hat?
It's so America. It's so guyish. You really take it for granted. You live in New York City. All the guys know about Jews, Orthodox Jews, on the front cover of the New York Times every other day. They all know about us. They don't give you a second look. But when you go out of town, and not so far. You go to Boston on the highway, McDonald's. It's so America. It's so not Brooklyn.
The
non-Jews are really non-Jews. And they look at you. Some have never seen a Jew before, and everything you do is like, what are you doing? What's going on in here? These crazy cars. What are you saying? What are you saying? I once went out of town somewhere. And I daven mincha. This was really scary. I daven mincha. You know, you daven mincha in JFK, daven LaGuardia. I don't think they'll give you a second look because everyone is there. I went out of town, not in this neighborhood, in the airport. I daven mincha. They sent a whole security team after me. I'm not joking. I was davening mincha. All of a sudden, I was surrounded by all these people with walkie-talkies. They thought I was a suicide bomber. I'm saying my last prayers before I blow up the whole place.
Must have been going to 5 years ago.
No.
Because now
5 years ago.
Carpet down on the floor and put your
5 years ago.
Where was it?
5 years ago. I went over someplace. It was out of town. It was a good 2 hour flight from here. I had to go somewhere. 2 hour flight from here, and I was in Naples. I was the only Jew. And I was waiting. It was a long wait, and I daven mincha.
Utah.
I'm davening there, and all of a sudden, it was like, there's security. Security, what is this Meshuggah doing? He's going to blow up the place.
Yeah.
Well, he's very suspicious. What?
Yeah, there was a story about
they were caught, but they were watching me, and by the time I finished, they I don't know what they thought. They didn't do anything. I did not engage. We did not have any conversation. But like I learned my lesson. My lesson is the next time something like that would happen, I would just daven sitting down. I wouldn't get up because, I guess in such an environment where there are no other Jews out of New York.
I was in New Haven in shop and stuff at the register, and a black professor tells me, "What's that on your head?"
And that's all New Haven. Okay. So. It is a little bit strange. I can just see in going to McDonald's on the I-95, going in there into the restroom, take out a cup of water, taking a cup, waiting a cup into the bathroom, and washing. It's very busy there. The writer would think I'm crazy. And then to come out with my hands wet outside and making a bracha, it's like you're out of your mind.
Next time, use the Merritt Parkway.
Okay, let's finish this up. Gimel, the Kodem Shemanagvam Gimel Yvarech Ayin Ramad, the Im Shachach Lavarech. Look what he says here. Let's say you forget to make the bracha Arachar and Nigov until after you dry your hands. They're completely dry. What do I do now? So I've already done the mitzvah. Can I make the bracha? Is it too late? So it says a very big chiddush, mevarech achar kach, you can still make the bracha. However, uviture zav kosav, the achar anigov, look what he says, chiddush, pella, lo yivarech, too late, too little, too late. The mitzvah is done, it'll be a bracha levatala. V'amogin avram kosav, k'ramon avram is makel. Like the Ramah says, make the bracha. The mevarech ella achar bracha samoytzi lebe, however, but let's say you don't remember until after you already eat, make hamoytzi lechem in aretz, that's already called too late. That's already you blew it. He says we don't pass it like the turizav. In other words, you do make a bracha like the Ramah until you make hamoytzi lechem in aretz. Okay, we're up to sifka and vav. We'll stop here.
There was an article.